The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, the rich just keep getting richer and richer and richer. And we've got a big holiday tomorrow, so we won't be here. So let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. Is that me? I thought I had this muted.
We've made an error.
Yeah, well, at AJ is the real, at Zhong
Snow. No one can hear you. Oh, there we go. Now we can hear
with
you.
With a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, and you can also watch us on live stream. Go to ESPN975.com, click on live stream. That's what I was doing, and that's why it came up, because I did not mute my computer, which I always do, but I was showing people before I came online the rough copy of Sports on the Rocks. So, yeah.
What's happened to this thing in here, John? Someone broke my thing. You know, I can normally leave it sideways. Nah, today I won't do that.
That's a very painful thing. And if your thing is broken, I can tell you where to go. You can go visit my friend at Arrow. Sorry.
Thank you.
I don't know. Ask Barry.
I blame Barry. I don't want to blame Joel. Joel's already mad enough at me.
No, Barry sits there, and I think Granado sits there. Charlie sits in the middle.
Really? Well, I guess.
Charlie sits, mic number two, right next to you, Fred.
Okay, I know to stay as far away from there as possible.
Joel is still mad at me. How long ago was that I kind of blasted Joel and
honestly,
Barry?
Honestly, I can't keep...
It's like 3 weeks ago, right?
I can't keep track of when you make people angry.
Yeah, maybe a month ago, John. What do you think? 3 weeks, a month?
Probably like 3 weeks ago.
Like, let's just be friends again now. Every time I say, hey, Joel, he just ignores me.
You guys were never friends.
Huh?
You guys were never friends.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Why can't me and Joel be friends?
Why can't we be friends?
No, I don't think you were friends. You're just coworkers.
I'm friendly to everybody. You know that, John. I just want to have a comfortable working environment where I can say hello and good day to my coworkers.
Not everyone's going to like you, AJ.
I know.
I thought you knew that by now.
I know. It irks me.
I'm really tempted to pop that during the show today.
That's a nice find.
Yeah. Our buddy Jermaine found me some Harvey's remnants by his house, so he brought me the bottle, and I'm just staring at it longingly.
Yeah.
Because it's getting open tonight or tomorrow. There's no question. The question is, does it get open before the show?
Yeah.
Have you had that yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know how good it is. 713-780-ESPN. And there's not many left. So the fact that he found some in his store... I don't even think they have it at the distillery anymore.
Well,
because we didn't have any when we were recording the show.
It's a nice little treasure.
Yeah. So what else happening? Obviously, we'll get the Boogie Cousins, but
what about him?
Well, it was funny to me that there were two responses yesterday.
Yeah.
First, it's the this isn't fair.
By the way, when you say two responses, they were still like weighed out 95% to 5%.
I don't know. It started early with this isn't fair. This isn't fair, and then Then the turn to, oh, well, he's hurt all the time. He's a risk.
Yeah, he ain't nothing.
He's a risk. No, he's a risk. And it's because he's a problem in the locker room and he's hurt all the time. Well, first off, somewhere in, not even in the middle, closer to the, there's no risk here. The Warriors don't need Boogie Cousins.
No.
And if he's healthy and behaves and they get that guy, holy bleep, that's a huge upgrade, right? And for the people saying, oh, this isn't fair, well, there's no guarantee he's going to be that. He may not be healthy. And if he isn't, I tell you, the Warriors were still the best team, even before they got him. So it's a no-risk, high-reward move.
He took the league minimum.
Yeah. He not the league minimum, but he took the minimum. He took like $5 million. Yeah. It's like one of those exceptions. I don't keep track of that.
Garbage. I think it's the minimum he could have taken for someone who's been in the league as long as he has.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's quite it, but it's still
$5.3 million over right. a year. It's you know what Trevor Ariza get?
15.
Yeah,
15
he took
for
the
mid
level exception.
Mid-level, yeah, that's yeah, it's it a mid level okay. exception. So it's like it's not the minimum.
That's pretty damn the minimum. For well, but what the minimum you can get a guy like that for?
He's taking a discount. There's no question. But let's not portray it as the veteran minimum because
okay.
it's not.
That's okay.
Veteran minimum's like under $2 million. So yeah, he's giving him a discount.
A significant discount.
Yeah. Although apparently there wasn't he turned down more money from New Orleans, of course, and Boston was also interested, but also for the same kind of deal. So there wasn't the huge money out there that maybe he thought there was going to be. But it's perfect for him. Go prove it for a year. Then you're going to get paid by somebody.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think the people saying that, oh, well, he's, you know, he's going to be a problem and all this, that's now you're just being bitter. But that was the second wave. The first wave was, this isn't fair. Basketball's no fun. To be honest with you, and I said this last year, but off-season basketball much more interesting than in-season basketball. And what's happened here is much more interesting than what you're going to see on the court starting in October until you get to the playoffs. And even then, unless LeBron turns the Lakers into something that makes you think they might have a chance against the Warriors, it's still not going to be very interesting.
Listen, here's the deal. I know everybody's angry about this, and it ruins sports, and the NBA's a joke now, and blah, blah, blah. So when the offseason comes around, if you are the best team, your job is to do what it takes to stay the best team, right?
Yeah. And I have no problem with what they did.
I'm not talking to you direct. I'm talking to the audience because I guarantee you our audience has a problem with it.
Okay.
If you are not the best team, your job is to do what it takes to get better than the best team. Rockets fans wanted LeBron James. They wanted to make their own super team. It just didn't work out that way. And by the way, it's not just the Rockets. Every team wants to do that. Every team wishes that they had whatever the appeal, you know, whatever the appealing factor is to put together this team. They've got this young core or this great player that people want to play with. Everyone wishes they had that, and everyone's trying to figure out the right recipe, what that is, because everyone knows you have to have a super team to win championships today. The Warriors just have it. And listen, I'm not saying DeMarcus Cousins couldn't have I'm not saying he would have been like a guy that was getting the 4-year max contract. I don't believe that was out there for him coming off an Achilles injury. But I do think that he's a guy who could have easily gotten, you know, $20 million for 1 year from the right team, or even a long-term offer from another team. He just decided, you know what, this season I'm going to miss half the season as it is, rehabbing. Wouldn't it be fun to show up on a team that I know is going to compete, have a chance to win, and hopefully I can be a part of it? I don't blame him at all. And it's a 1-year deal. So if he's great, he can go get big money next year.
Right. And coming off that injury, I think that was scaring some teams off. A big man with an injury, I don't know that he would have gotten $20 million. I think he would have gotten a decent offer from the Pelicans, but there wasn't anybody else beating down his door. Having said that, this is a perfect situation for him. I mean, go there on that deal, win a title, rebuild your image a little bit, and then get paid big time next year by somebody.
Like, do you think had he gone to insert horrible team here, had he signed with the Nets, like, do you think he could have rebuilt his image as some sort of a dominant player there?
I think he could have.
Because in half a season?
Numbers-wise, he could have done it, but...
Maybe. I mean, but again, and this goes back to what I tweeted last night. When I was a kid, everyone complained about the state of sports, professional sports. All the athletes care about is the money. What happened to playing for championships? What happened to playing for the love of the game? Now, a guy is willing to take basically minimum amount of money or close to the minimum amount of money he can take to go play for a championship. And he's chastised for that. What are we doing here? What happened to like championships? Or if aren't rings the most important thing? Isn't that what everyone's playing for? Why are you going to be mad at someone who's putting themselves in a spot to win one?
Because it's the same thing as with LeBron. If he didn't go to your team, then it's chicken bleep.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, yeah. It's that simple, AJ. I mean, I think...
The days of winning with Dirk Nowitzki and a bunch of role players are gone. It's not going
to
happen.
At least for a while the Warriors are continuing to rebuild and add guys like this and keep building on the fly. And as long as LeBron's trying to collect people. Yeah, I think the closest thing to that is the Celtics. And I don't think they're winning anything, so...
Yeah. I mean, the Celtics have two young, really good players that they drafted, and then they've got Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving.
And that's kind of how you do it now, right? You hopefully draft a couple guys who can play.
That's what the Warriors did.
Yeah, and then you added one of the two best players in the league to that. Now you're adding a guy when healthy who's probably the best center. That's what you do. I don't think there's any – I don't understand anybody being up in arms over this, frankly.
Oh, but people are. I love it, to be honest. I mean, everybody's, well, I hate the NBA. Well, my team can't win. Well, your team should be better. Get over it.
Yeah, well, it is a fair point that there's really no hope for almost.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, not just the Bucks. I mean, I think, you know, realistically, because the Celtics are going to have a pretty easy path, I'd feel pretty good if I were a Celtics fan that I at least got a chance to get to the finals. Obviously, if you're a Lakers fan, you're excited because you have the best player in the league. But how much deeper do you go than that? I mean, the Rockets fans can get excited if they win 60 games again. But are they going to be able to beat the Warriors right now in a 7-game series? And that's the only conversation you have all year. Yeah. What's going to happen in the playoffs when they play the Warriors in a 7-game series? So, yeah, I understand that mentality. It's like, hey, I'm a fill-in-the-blank fan, Miami Heat fan. What do I care about that team? I know they're not going to win anything. Am I just going to be excited about maybe we make the playoffs? Maybe you get to the second round? And so I get that mindset, but I don't think this is as earth-shattering as the Twitter world made it last night.
Listen, the Warriors were the best team going into next season with or without DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, no question. And if he turns out, if he works out for him, great. If he doesn't, they're going to be fine. They're still the best team. So
it's not like this was something, oh, well, we lost to the Cavs last year. We've got to go out and we've got to make a big splash. Okay, go get Kevin Durant. That's we're back to being the best team on paper and probably on the floor. This wasn't that case. They just swept the NBA Finals. And they said, you know what? Man, Rockets were nipping at our heels this year. What could we do to go out and get a little bit better? Because you know damn well the Rockets are trying to get better. What, are they just supposed to sit there and let the rest of the league catch up? Is that how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, a couple things from Twitter. Steven, the weather guy, said, I can't say I'm upset over the Cousins signing or that I necessarily think rules need to change. However, I can say that last year, even with the Rockets' success, I was becoming disinterested by the inevitability of the Warriors. Now I'm genuinely out on the NBA next year. I bet you if Durant blows a knee, you might change your mind. Because that kind of stuff can happen. And Young Rico says, don't forget Philly. I think them and Boston will be 1-2 next year, but get swept in the playoffs. I am selling Philly stock. I've been saying that since the playoffs. I think they've got two really good young players. I don't know that team is... I mean, they played very well at the end of the season. And so everybody started thinking, oh, I don't know how much more there is to that team, to be perfectly honest with you. And then Clayton says, got a situation developing on 45 South.
Uh-oh.
Cops caught a guy who stole $80K worth of fireworks and a generator. Story on Channel 2, major backups on the interstate. They had the guy cornered in the Kelly's Diner parking lot. Maybe a good dumbass report? I'd have to see that story. My brother used to work at Kelly's. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and on Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I love that song. Before we get to more nonsense, I have to tell you, I want to help you save some money.
Do it.
I want to help you lower the interest rate on your credit card
debt. Do it.
With a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. And guys, if you haven't heard of Lightstream, here's what they're going to do. They're going to get loans from $5,000 to $100,000. They're going to reward customers who have good credit with a great interest rate. And how about this? No fees. You can get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Choose your funding date as soon as today, as a matter of fact, and get up to $100,000. Pay off those credit cards. I don't know what your interest rate is, but guess what? I bet it's more than 5.89%. And, I mean, they've got such a the website is so easy to work with. They're just fantastic. And how about this? Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is go to Lightstream.com/Fred. That simple. Lightstream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for more information.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, back to sports.
I always get thrown off by that because I expect the music.
Right.
Yeah. It's.
Did you mess up or did Jung mess up?
He told me. Okay.
It's on me.
Because okay. He told me. Lightstream coming out of break, right? So I was ready. I had it up on my screen, ready to go. And then I hear the music. And I'm like, whoa. And then I said something to him. Say, is it raining out there? They have a lightning tracker. What's going on with that? This is what happens when we put the news on.
I don't know. Is that local?
Yeah, it's local. It says Houston.
Oh, yeah, it does say Houston.
That's not a very flattering dress on her, by the way. I think she needs something a little darker.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just not a great color. It's very plain.
I don't
yeah, know. It looks like it's coming this way.
I think that is a flattering dress. maybe you don't like the color, but I don't think that the dress is not flattering.
I just think she would pop out more.
I don't know. She could pop out
more. Oh, I think she could.
Maybe you're missing her on the side view.
No, well, I'm seeing them. I just think they, along with everything else, would be more pronounced with a different color.
I mean, this isn't the porno news.
Well,
this
I'm not asking it to be. I'm just saying.
She's a lady. She's a meteorologist, right. Sir. She's a scientist.
Right, but I think sometimes...
It's not her job to look sexy for
from
you.
A visual aspect, I want her to pop more. I want her to stand out more. And for that, I think a darker color. Just throwing that out there.
Do you think...
I'm getting really caught up in this whole video stuff, by the way.
Do you think you think LeBron is already starting... And not that, you know, DeMarcus Cousins suddenly makes the Warriors... more unbeatable, although I guess he could. Like, there's very little risk and there's a lot of reward to it, but do you think LeBron sort of is regretting leaving the Eastern Conference?
No.
Because it's going to be a tough road to get there.
It is, but, and what's... Okay, that's apparently tomorrow's when we're getting the rain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't be here tomorrow.
Where are you going?
To the 10-year-old World Series.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I hope it doesn't rain there. But, no, I think he wanted to go to L.A. Is losing in the finals, I mean, you keep losing in the finals, does that hurt? I think that hurts your legacy more than not getting there. It did with Jordan. Nobody ever counts the years Jordan didn't get there.
Yeah, I guess so. Once you're there and you lose, it's like, lost in the finals.
You're no Jordan.
Ooh. Right.
You're no Joe Montana. Sorry, Tom Brady. But no, I think that hurts his legacy less. Yes, are you guys not annoyed that literally any basketball talk you do for the next year is so totally pointless?
No. It's just pointless if you, like, here's why I don't think it's pointless. Now, the whole league is obsessed with catching this team. Like, that's what it is.
But, man, this is what I grew up with. The whole league was obsessed with catching it. The Lakers had this. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy. Celtics had Bird, Parrish, McHale, Danny Ainge. Dennis Johnson. I mean, they had five starters who were essentially all stars.
But Fred, isn't that the golden age of the NBA?
I guess the difference was there really were two of them and not just one.
Yeah, but let's face it. Let's go look at those head-to-head finals appearances. There was one, and there was another one.
Well, but the Celtics were capable of winning, and they did beat them once, and
just like the Cavs in the last 4 years.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't. Those Cavs teams were. They weren't as good as the Celtics, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, they were one-man teams.
But I shouldn't say it.
Kyrie Irving, when Kyrie Irving was there, he was...
I really enjoyed those Laker teams with Magic because Magic was one of the most unique players I've ever seen. He was the greatest passer I've ever seen in terms of, you know, where he could put the ball. You know, and he and Stockton were kind of that same era, and I know Stockton gets credit for that, but a lot of his, you know, Magic could create passes a lot better than anyone else. How's that?
That's fair.
And create opportunities. And they were such a perfectly constructed team, but occasionally somebody would jump up and beat them. But part of it was, you know, there were 5-game series and there were things like that where if they didn't play their best for a couple games, they could get upset. But that was the same thing. They had all the best players. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar starts with the Bucks, then he goes off to L.A.
Yeah.
One of the best players. He was maybe the best player in the league. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's just doesn't feel like the same thing to me as that did. Because you had the whole East Coast, West Coast thing. You had, okay, everybody in the West says the Lakers are the greatest team. Everybody in the East says the Celtics are the greatest team. And then and even the year the 76ers jumped up and won it. So to me, the Rockets need a guy to be like the 76ers and be a one-hit wonder where they win that title the way they did. Where they brought in Moses Malone and they still had Mo Cheeks and Dr. J. And that team was loaded. But that was kind of an aberration. It would be like, it's almost like what the Cavaliers were. Of course, they made the finals a few times.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say because that, for some reason,
Because you, like most people, romanticize that era of basketball.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think there's better players now. I think the players in general are better. But those two teams were stacked. And it was kind of the same thing. But, yeah.
And Lamont says, we already know you want to see Golden State and Alabama every year. A lot of us don't. And that's fine. I just appreciate when greatness comes along. And I also enjoy the chase. I love to see the rest of the league or the rest of college football or whatever do whatever they can to try to catch up with that great team. And to me, that's part of the fun of things. I just
don't see anybody catching up to him, and to me that's not interesting.
In the mid '90s, early 2000s, everyone was like, "Oh, what's the point of watching baseball? We know what's going to happen at the end of the year. The Yankees are going to win the World Series because the Yankees had built they'd built a dynasty." And I still enjoyed watching it because I enjoy being able to see stuff like that happen. That you know, 30 years from now. When people talk about, what are the great teams that you saw when you were growing up? Or even, you know, I'll probably argue with my grandson one day because by then the Charlotte Hornets will have built a dynasty that won 3 years in a row. And he'll say, this is the best team that's ever been constructed. And I'll just have to look at him and say, listen, son, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't see this. I just enjoy watching greatness. And to me, the Warriors have built themselves a great thing. And It's not their fault that no one else is keeping up with them. That's not their job to worry about the competitive nature of the league. That's the other teams in the league's job.
Yeah,
to figure that out.
And that's all fair, but from the rest of the league's perspective, you're talking about the chase. There is no chase. Let's be honest. There's a chase if one of those
guys
gets
hurt. Did the Rockets
not
chase them this year?
Yeah, and then they lost though, right?
They lost, but that, I mean,
but at no point did, especially after Paul got hurt, you were kind of like, okay, they're not winning this. And then when they got to the finals, you knew the Cavs were going to be lucky to win a game.
And did you watch the Preakness?
Yeah.
Why? You knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, because I bet on it.
But I mean, you had a full understanding of what was going to happen in that race.
Yeah, wound up being closer than I thought.
And that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that something happens that you don't expect.
I wasn't rooting for greatness this year. I was betting against him pretty much the whole way. So that's a bad example.
They're more than welcome to do that. But you're either rooting for it or against it.
It's a dumb bet. But I mean, honestly, I don't think you're going to convince people to suddenly, you know, say, oh, wow, this is going to be interesting because there's a chase. Because I think most people realize there's not a chase and that it's a foregone conclusion. That's my point. I don't think you convince people of that.
Well, I can't imagine.
And I'm not saying there's anything. Listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I think if I'm them, I'm trying to win as much as I can. I want to get the best team I can. I want to stomp holes in people. I don't, you know. And if I have an opportunity to get a guy like that, absolutely, I'm doing it every time. But that doesn't mean. And if I'm the Golden State fan base, I'm walking around with a permanent erection.
I mean,
but if I'm not. If I'm just casual fan of in another city, yeah, it's getting pretty boring.
Here's what I got from kind of the this from what I understand during the Western Conference Finals, which I you know we both watched every game of that. It was a competitive series. We agree on that. Goes seven games. I mean, some of them are very close. You know.
Point differential, though, was one of the worst seven-game series.
But let's say, and then you will hear a lot of people in this city especially say, if Chris Paul doesn't miss the last two games, the Rockets would have won that series. You've heard that, right? I'm not asking if you agree with it, but you've heard people say that. But
you know what's going to happen is when Durant and Curry go out next year and the Rockets beat them, people say, oh, they only did it because Durant and Curry went out.
Well, my point is, the Warriors probably realized how close the Rockets were getting. So they said, well, should we just let the Rockets catch us? Or should we go out and make ourselves better?
Nobody's disputing that, AJ. I don't know why you're arguing that. Nobody's saying they shouldn't do it.
That wasn't interesting. They went to seven games, and apparently one player missing two of them.
Honestly, that was the only interesting series in the entire thing. I mean, the rest of it was garbage. I'm with the people on that. It wasn't fun to watch. That's what Robert kind of nails.
You prefer a league where everybody's around 500?
No, I prefer a league where it's actually interesting. Even if there's three great teams and one of those three is going to win it, totally down. But when there's one team that's just head and shoulders above everybody else, that gets boring after a while. I mean, it's a great dynasty. People feel the same way about the Patriots.
Yeah.
The NFL's not interesting because the Patriots win every year. But at least they don't. At least there's other teams that step up. And I think Robert nails it with his text. There's no one saying it's the Warriors' fault for being great. It's just not interesting to watch. And I agree with that. It is an interesting to watch. I think it's interesting to you because you really like that team.
Somehow the NBA is still, they're still making money.
Yeah.
No one wants to watch it, but somehow they're staying afloat.
Well, you could say that about a lot of sports.
But all I heard last year was that the NBA is horrible. I'm not watching. Huh? But everybody watched at the end of the day.
Well, and you know, the Rockets gave them something to watch. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't think it's going to affect ratings and stuff that much because there's, especially around Christmas time, there's just not much else to watch. But, you know, I think most of what I'm getting on the text line is how I don't know how I feel about it. I'll watch a lot of games, but I do think it's a foregone conclusion, whether they sign Boogie Cousins or not, though.
Yeah.
And I think in part because LeBron didn't go someplace that he could win, he could beat the Warriors. At least now. Now, if they get Kawhi Leonard, I might get more interested. But I don't know if that's going to happen. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. One guy says, upsets make sports, though, right? Everyone loves the underdog.
Well, it takes a great team. I mean,
upsets just don't happen very often in the NBA because in a seven-game series,
it's tough.
The best team is going to win. And that's why I think and somebody said it's not really fair to compare to baseball because there's more players. And the truth is, you get a hot pitching staff, you can win a series in baseball. You can win four games from a better team. We just saw Tampa win three games from the Astros in a four-game series. They're not better than the Astros. But, yeah, in baseball, that can happen. You can get the right guys pitching well at the right time, shutting down bats, and you can upset a better team. And same thing in hockey. You get a hot goalie, for instance, and you can steal a series. Can't really do that in basketball. I mean, you're to beat the Warriors four games, somebody has to be hurt. And they looked vulnerable when Curry was out, but they didn't play anybody who could take advantage of it.
All right.
And, you know, yeah, and then somebody else says, well, what you said you wanted the league would happen, if it had, barring injury to the Rockets and Celtics, three awesome teams, it could have been Celtics Rockets in the finals. And I'm sorry, but you know, the Celtics didn't have Hayward all year. That doesn't count. And I don't know how much better they're going to be with him. We'll find out.
I mean, it means less minutes for one of their young guys.
Yeah.
And those young guys are the reason why they got as far as they did.
Yeah. And, you know, and the Rockets were interesting, but I think I felt like everybody else when Chris Paul's hamstring went. And by the way, Chris Paul isn't old.
And Chris Paul gets hurt every year.
And he gets hurt every year.
And you know what? I'll say this. The Rockets gave the Warriors more than I even expected they would.
And more than anybody has in the last couple of years. Since Durant's been there, that was the one team that came close to beating
them. The only team.
And I think it would have been much more interesting if they had beaten them and then they go out and get Cousins. I think the difference is, I think the Warriors, without Cousins, still better than the Rockets right now that they've lost Ariza and still haven't re-signed Capella. Until they fill that role, and until they fill a couple of holes, I can't sit here and say the Rockets are in that conversation right now. It's not that Ariza was a main piece, but he was a key piece. And he did a lot in that series defensively. And I think, you know, I think you can upgrade there. And if you can, then yeah, the gap's closed a little bit. And then I might be interested, but I need to see some of that first.
Yeah.
Squeeze in a couple calls. I can't read what's the name on the top?
Darren.
Okay, Darren.
Hey now, Darren.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I definitely had to get in here and get on this topic. Fred, I usually agree with you, but not on this one. That's the epitome of what makes sports exciting, is this every sport we've looked at throughout time, there's always been one dominant supreme team. Alabama's won in the last 10 years, Alabama's won 5. I don't see anybody watching any less college football. Everybody's watching more college football. Everybody's trying to figure out how the heck we're going to beat Alabama. Everybody's trying to figure out how the heck we're going to beat Golden State. That's what makes it exciting. The chase is what makes it exciting, trying to figure out how the hell we're going to beat these guys. And, you know, having that major upset, that's what keeps everybody engaged. So this idea that, oh, the Golden State is so good now that I'm not going to be able to watch the NBA anymore, that's nonsense. I mean, come on. That's what makes sports exciting. There's always going to be one dominant team, the supreme to everybody else, and then everybody's just going to be playing catch-up. That's what makes sports fun. That's what makes the excitement fun. We're watching to see who can actually be the team to come on that next level to knock the top dog off. So the idea that, oh, it's just boring and I'm not interested, I think that's overblown.
Well, let me clarify first off. I'm saying I understand why people feel that way. I really do. I don't know if I agree or not. Because I think at some point, some of those guys are going to start breaking. Durant and Curry both are sort of fragile guys. The fact that they play as much as they do is amazing. Another year on them, another playoff run, that starts to wear on you. And you could see a knee go, you could see an ankle go. And yes, I'm saying it's a hell of a lot more interesting if one of those guys goes down than it is right now. But I do understand why people feel that way. For some reason, though, the Alabama thing doesn't bother me, because I do feel like every now and then somebody breaks through and beats them.
Well, because the difference is, like we were just talking about, it's a one-game thing. You know, it's a lot easier
it's really two games now that you...
if you beat them once, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, if the Cavs had won game one of that series, which they really should have.
Yeah.
Had they won that game, I don't think they win the series, but I think the series is a lot more competitive. I think maybe they win two games, maybe three. Once they lost that game, I think it all kind of unraveled.
Yeah.
But in a seven-game series, it is difficult. I mean, typically, the best team wins. I just happen to be a person who, if I watch a season worth of sports – and then I see the best team not win at the end, it's frustrating to me. Like, I like to see the best teams rewarded. And I know that's not how everyone feels, and I get that.
Yeah, but if the best team in every sport just won every year, then nothing would be worth anything.
No.
Why even play? And so I like to see, but I like the one-offs in football. And I do think in football, Deshaun Watson can step up and beat Alabama in one game. Now, if they play that game 10 times with those same two teams...
If they play it seven times...
Alabama's winning four games.
Yeah.
No question. But for one game, he can do that. Clemson can step up and do that. And every now and then a team can jump up and beat Alabama. And I think, to me, that's the more interesting part is, you know, because it's so... In that case, man, it's so do or die.
But the fact remains, for a sports story to be great... It either has to be the same team winning, you know, to become a dynasty. Like those are great sports stories. And then the other great sports stories are when the team that has no business winning comes up and surprises the Goliath. And
yeah, that
I know your favorite. This isn't going to be your favorite example, but there's a reason why that North Carolina State UH game is always talked about is such a great game. Because had UH won that game by 1 point, do you think anybody talks about that game anymore?
No, you would talk about that as one of the great college basketball teams.
Exactly.
And instead, it's, yeah, oh, man.
It's, you're either a great team or there's a great upset. And both of them are good, well, good
but,
in their
but again,
own ways.
I think that's slightly different because, that's a one-off. And I think in when you get the NBA, you get to any of these things that have lengthy series, then it's harder to get that kind of – you're not going to ever get – you might get the 8 seed upsetting the 1 every now and then. It's happened. You're not going to get the 8 seed winning the NBA title. That's never going to happen.
Probably not.
I think the Rockets winning as a 6 was – that was a pretty big – I think the Spurs won 1 year as a low seed too, but it was in part because they had some injuries and didn't – you know. So in that situation, yeah.
But we've seen wild cards win the World Series. I mean, it's
yeah, I do think that the reason basketball is a little bit different is when you get a team this good, it's so hard. It's so hard for somebody to beat them 4 games.
No, I agree with that.
And, I mean, as well as the Rockets play –
but it'll make it even more special if someone can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think that – that'll get people that claim to not be interested a hell of a lot more interested. It almost has to happen for, and that's kind of part of it. I mean, the Celtics had to jump up and beat the Lakers in the finals back in the day for it to be a rivalry.
Yeah,
if it had been the Lakers every year, we wouldn't really talk much about the Celtics.
Well, I honestly think the same thing goes for the Cavs Warriors. Had the Cavs not won that 1 year, people would be even more frustrated with the Warriors as
yeah,
the,
oh
as
yeah. Then I can start seeing this a lot more. It's kind of all right, you know. Oh boy, another NBA season,
but it also.
I don't necessarily like the little guy winning the whole thing bit. I like the little guy getting some upsets along the way, and then at least the medium guy winning. I'm not as elitist as you, where I only want the best team to win everything. Right. But
you're not like I'm looking for a 9 seed in the final 4 guy.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want that either.
Yeah. I'm more of the okay.
Because at the end of the day, I want to see the best teams play for the championships.
Yeah.
And
I want to see at least among the best teams.
And here's what I think, and this is why I was interested in basketball this season, or at least this postseason, because when the Rockets and the Warriors played in the Western Conference Finals, I think that was the two best teams playing.
Yeah.
And then when the Warriors,
and that was the best series.
When the Warriors played the Cavs, I think that was the best team playing the third best team. Like, I'm not opposed to those. Like, and
well, the finals did feel anticlimactic. Now, and you're right. If the Cavs had won game one, maybe it's more interesting, and yeah. I think it would have been, but they didn't. And all right.
But you know what? Here's some stats for you. The average share for 2018 finals was a 10. I mean, it's the lowest of the Warriors' run, the Warriors' 4-year run. But the year before, the 2014 series, it was 9.3 for the Spurs Heat. Lakers Magic in 2009 drew an 8.4. Celtics Lakers in 2008 drew a 9.3. It's not like people aren't watching. It's about average as far as viewership goes.
Yeah, but I think at some point that's going to erode if it just keeps going the way it's going.
Maybe so.
But you know, I also think people are overreacting. I think I made that clear from the beginning. Hey, here's your chance to have dinner with a winner. ESPN 97.5 and Ally.
What do I have to eat with?
Well, you might want to win this. Bring your steroids. No, just kidding. Here's your chance to have a dinner with a winner. ESPN 97.5 and Allied Siding and Windows have your seat at the table with Nolan Ryan later this month.
Hey now.
All you have to do is go to AlliedSidingandWindows.com and click on Dinner with a Winner. The grand prize winner gets a dinner for two with Nolan Ryan. 5 second place winners get an autographed Nolan Ryan baseball. It's Dinner with a Winner. Compliments of ESPN 97.5 and Allied Siding and Windows. Complete rules and entry at AlliedSidingandWindows.com. That is something you guys definitely want to check out, man. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. I want to tell you about the sports map today. Lots of good stuff.
Hell yeah.
As always. Joel has
get on the map.
Joel has a video on, are the Astros poised to be the Golden State Warriors of baseball? It's going to be a little harder because the Yankees and the Red Sox and the even the Cubs are kind of close to the Warriors' quality. So
Dodgers, too.
Yeah, we forget about the Dodgers because they started off so crappy this year.
They're back.
Yeah, and they'll be healthy at some point.
Yep.
But also, Raheel has his 5 definitive patriotic sports films for the 4th of July.
Nice.
Because I guess we were talking about the 4th of July films. He has his own. Jermaine has some names to watch as possible future Rockets via free agency. Paul Muth has Rockets that they might trade for, although they did sign Michael Carter Williams today. And Charlie Palillo has a video on the Rockets had no choice but to overpay Chris Paul. So all that's up today, and if you want to check it out, please do. Great stuff.
Hey, can I say Joel's article was awesome?
It was a video.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Just
everybody should watch it.
It just went up.
It was awesome.
But a couple things from Twitter. And Brandon asked if people hate on the Spurs when they had their run. They didn't really hate them, but I think people bitched because they were boring. They thought they were boring. Because Tim Duncan may have been the most underrated superstar in the sport because he was just so fundamentally and technically sound. And he wasn't flashy and he didn't have a mouthpiece hanging out of his mouth. And he looked like a dinosaur. That maybe people didn't respect just how great he was. But I think that was the thing. Oh, the Spurs are boring. I hate watching. Part of it was they wound up playing teams like the Pistons and the Cavs team that wasn't ready to be there.
Can we at least agree that that's not the argument you can make about this Warriors team?
No, you can't.
Call them
boring.
No, they're
fun to watch. They really are. It's just, I mean, that happens with everybody. There's always a team to hate.
Yep.
And then a couple people said, I hate when an upset ruins a big game, a la Gary Anderson missing the kick that prevents Randy Moss from facing John Elway, Black Falcons. That's one thing in football that I don't like. And to this day, I don't like that your Bills didn't win a Super Bowl because a guy couldn't make a kick.
Right.
Gary Anderson hadn't missed a kick all year, if I'm not mistaken, against the Falcons, and he misses that one. I hate it when a game comes down to that. Now, if somebody blocks a kick or makes a play, I don't want to see a football game end because somebody made a mistake. I want to see it because somebody made a play. And missing a field goal is just a mistake. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
What about George Hill being an 81% free throw shooter and missing the free throw at the end of game one?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And then what are the odds that J.R. Smith is the one who rebounds it?
Yeah.
Of all the people.
Yeah. I'm interested. I don't think they're invincible. I don't know that Boogie Cousins makes them unbeatable. I mean, if he plays great and gets healthy, yeah. But, I still think it's interesting. I'll just be interested to see if the Rockets add the right pieces to have the same kind of team they had last year, which as of today, they don't have that.
A lot of people comparing the Bills and bringing it up to me. What if the Bills would? It would have been nice if the Bills would have won one, but
really, the one they were going to win was that first.
Yeah,
one.
That's the only. They were favored in that game by 6.5 points. They were at least a 6.5 point underdog in the other three, and that Scott Norwood kick. It was a 47-yard kick. It's not like it was a 20-yard chip shot. He should have made it, but it's...
But see, that in that game...
That's sports.
In that game, though, you couldn't have watched that and told me you thought the Giants were the better team. The Bills were the better football team. The Giants played their style of football to keep it close.
Yeah.
And, voila. And the Bills had a chance. And I want to see the guy make that kick. I want to see a guy win a game with that kick.
Brandon brings up an example of something like this that happened a long time ago. Back in 2001, prime Kobe Shaq Lakers, like the dominant era of Lakers, a dominant era of Lakers basketball. They swept everybody in the playoffs, and then they met Iverson, and they lost game one. And Now, granted, they won that series in five games.
Yeah.
But everybody was watching that series in hopes that either the Lakers were going to win and go on and be great. There's people who were pro-Lakers. And then everybody else was watching hoping that the Lakers lost.
Yeah.
But people still watched. And that's a good example, too. That is a lot like this season where, remember the Kings? Or maybe it was 2000, where the Kings and the Lakers went to seven games.
Yeah. That was the Donaghy game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then most people thought that the Lakers and the Kings were the two best teams, and they played in the Western Conference Finals. But when there's a great team, there's people who will tune in to watch the greatness, and there will people who will tune in hopes that someone knocks them off.
Yeah, I think right now people don't feel,
it's just hard to imagine someone's going to knock this
right
team off.
And they're overreacting to this, but. Well, let's see how the season plays out. There's a lot that can happen, and I get why people think that, but I'll sit back and root for some injuries. That'll make it interesting. If that makes me a bad person, so be it. Squeeze in one more call on this, and then let's move to something else because we've been way too damn sportsy, and I'm getting bored. Cody, what's up?
I don't have a problem with the super team because I think everybody's accustomed to it now. It's going to happen. Players are going to meet up at first team and try and build that. My problem with it is the chicken bleep that Kevin Durant started joining a team that won 73 games and broke the record for the regular season wins, and then you're piling Boogie Cousins on top of it. I mean, I could be off base on it. That's just my opinion.
Well, remember that when they signed Kevin Durant, they were coming off a season which they lost in the NBA Finals, and they said, well, we don't want that to happen again. Teams have a certain window where they've got an opportunity to win. And just like
I admire what they're doing. I have no problem with what they're doing. I just have no problem with people being pissed off about it either.
Yeah. The Rockets were really close this year. The Rockets had the best record in the league, got really close to beating the Warriors. Had they gone out and signed LeBron to put them over the top, would you be mad about that?
I think that's the bottom line. They were trying to do the same thing.
They were trying to do the exact thing.
And the Rockets have always tried to do that. Think about going back to try to get Chris Bosh and trying to make the Gasol trade and all this other stuff. They've been trying to build a super team forever. Getting Chris Paul last year.
Yeah.
So.
The days of like.
It's just if somebody else does it a little bit better. Oh, well.
The days of like homegrown dynasties. Those don't happen very often. Like the Warriors winning their first championship of this run. That's the last time it's happened in a long time where, like, most of that team, the core of that team was all drafted by the team. Normally, there's at least one major free agent signing that comes into that thing because that's how you've got to win.
What's so funny now is seeing the Thunder go way over the luxury tax now, where if they had just kept James Harden, they were that team. They were the Warriors before the Warriors.
They could have been.
And they could have added the right guys, but they didn't want to go over the luxury tax. And look what happened. We'd be talking about OKC.
Man, and now, do you think that this puts the Rockets in a weird place? Because even if the Rockets re-sign Capella, they're still underdogs to win the title. I mean, they're
underdogs, but
and they're going to have to go way over the cap to do it.
But that's they don't. I don't think they care.
They don't
about
care
that.
About no, that.
Just like the Warriors don't care about that.
But the Warriors, they've got rings. When you've got rings, you don't care as much about the luxury tax.
Yeah, but I think when you're a team that makes a bunch of money, you don't care about the luxury tax. I don't think rings have a damn thing to do with it. The Rockets make a bunch of money. The Knicks make a bunch of money. I don't think they'd care about the luxury tax. Lakers won't care about the luxury tax. They'll spend over. It's not that, I mean, to me, that doesn't really have anything to do with it. What they'll need to do is find, through a trade most likely, they need to have a replacement for Ariza, who's functional, and they're going to have to keep Paul healthy. And I still think they can make some little moves as they did last year with Mbamute and PJ Tucker.
Well, remember, Mbamute is a free agent as well.
Yeah, I think they'll bring him back, and I think they'll get Capella done. And yeah, they'll be spending a bunch of money, and they'll use those mid-level exceptions and trade exceptions and all that stuff to bring in a couple more guys. And, they'll find people who fit their system. And if they do that, can keep those guys healthy, then I think they're going to be in the mix. But I think they also have to figure out a way to get Anderson involved in the playoffs somehow and get that guy going again, because I still think he's a useful piece, an overpaid piece, but a useful piece if you can figure him out. All right. I'll tell you something that's extremely useful to everyone. Thrive Plus. friend of mine the other night swung by. I had a couple beers, and I said, here, take some of these when you go home. And texted me the next day, said, man, I feel fantastic. And that is exactly what Thrive Plus does. And the cool thing about it is you get over 30, man, you're not going to feel the same the next morning when you've been drinking, even if it's just a few drinks. So the guys at Thrive Plus decided, hey, we're going to come up with a vitamin you can take. And the science didn't exist several years ago. Now they've got it. And you take three of these after you've been drinking or before you go to bed, you're going to feel better the next morning. It's $1 a capsule. You're taking three capsules, $3 to feel better. I don't drink without it anymore. Even if I just have one drink before I go to bed, I'll take my Thrive because I want to get up the next morning and feel like I'm ready to take on the day. And that's what it does. Product was shown on Shark Tank. The founder's a Princeton graduate. They've got five PhDs on their team. These guys are what we call smarts. And if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. And they're a Houston-based company. So if you order before 4 o'clock any day, you're going to receive the product on your doorstep the next day. And so if you're going to be out drinking tomorrow, you better get in on this. To order Thrive Plus, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. They're even on Amazon. So if you want to order that way, simply search Thrive Plus on Amazon. I don't drink without Thrive Plus. Neither should you. DecideThrive.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.